timing.
Welcome to Why Am I Laughing, the podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben Harris. With me as always is my co-host RJ Sines. Oh, it's getting spooky. We're your in-house comedy gurus who talk about what's funny, why it's funny, and what's the minimum amount of candy that's acceptable to give to any type of trick-or-treater.
Oh, just a Rolo.
A single Rolo?
Yeah.
I'd go as low as just one Smartie.
One Smartie? Are you insane?
I'm as cheap as they come.
They come in packs of 80. An ant could carry one of those on its own.
That's 80 kids that are getting one Smartie.
That's terrible.
Today we're talking about Halloween. More specifically, Halloween on TV. But first, before we get into that, what's happening in the world of comedy? RJ, take it away.
Yeah, more importantly, was waiting a week for the timing joke really worth it?
It might not have been. We wasted a week. But if we got a single laugh, then I think we changed some hearts.
I had to not go into work for 5 days. I mean...
Do you still have a job?
No, I quit.
Whoa. How did you quit? You were here.
2 weeks notice.
Nice. Thinking ahead. RJ, take us through the news.
Yeah, not a lot of great news right now in the world of comedy, unfortunately. But in the spirit of Halloween, Netflix does have one of our favorite movies, Hot Fuzz, an Edgar Wright classic, starring Simon Pegg, Nick Frost. If you love classic British comedy, and honestly, modern era, excellent editing, excellent direction. Edgar Wright does such a good job with this. And Simon Pegg, you know, is also a part of this whole writing and creating process. Just a classic kind of a spooky thriller kind of a movie. Edgar Wright's like, put it, he's a really good cop, and he's kind of like, something's weird in this town. I can't quite figure it out. And, you know, things just start falling into his lap, like these weird people. And all of a sudden, there's like this like murder conspiracy going on. And he's in the middle of it all. It's very funny, very creepy, but...
It's so good. It's really one of my favorite. I always consider Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and then At World's End.
At World's End, yeah.
I always consider those like his kind of threefold little arc of movies. And that one is by far my favorite because it's so dry.
Yeah.
It's all like, seriously, the whole, like, seriously, until like the last... 10% of the movie is all like wordplay jokes or just like little quick visual bits,
but then exactly.
At the end it just goes nuts and like just cranks up the volume to 11.
Yeah. Things that don't crank up the volume to 11 are Tyler Perry movies. In the box office right now you can check out Boo, a Madea Halloween. Wow. Despite its low...
Wait, this is a real thing?
This is a real film.
Oh.
That you can see with money in a theater.
People spent money to make this.
Not only has people spent money to make this film, people have spent money on tickets for this film.
But yeah, see, that's the thing. Tyler Perry has so much money, I feel like he could just make a movie like just with a fart.
Yeah, he said, what do I want to do this year? Boo, a Madea Halloween. Easy. I'll make... $1,800 million and we'll call it a day. Like that's his lifestyle. And it's, you know what? If it works for you, it works for you. I'm not going to knock on that because he's the one sitting up there in his, you know, DuckTales style vault of gold coins that he's swimming in. So whatever. Good for him. It's the king of the box office right now. It's stamping out that Tom Hanks movie, Inferno, you know, like the Da Vinci Code.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to steal the Declaration of Independence. Like that kind of a movie. Actually, no, that's Nick Cage.
Yeah. Tom
same
Hanks.
World,
a little more
different
class.
Movie.
Is it the same universe?
Same universe.
I'd love to see
where everything's a conspiracy and the world's against you and like, you know, the Illuminati are there and you're like, oh, I gotta run away.
The Mona Lisa has like a treasure map on the back that leads to Abe Lincoln's house.
Yeah, and then Abe Lincoln never was really dead. He's hanging out with Tupac. Yeah.
And vampires.
Yeah, it's all there. Another great thing that you can check out, I guess, isn't really news, but it's the best thing that's going on in the world of comedy, is David S. Pumpkins. Same guy who's in Inferno, Tom Hanks.
Thomas Hanks.
He hosted Saturday Night Live and did one of the funniest Halloween sketches I've ever seen. We'll get into the details of that later.
So good.
But if you search David S. Pumpkins on the internet, he's taken over the web by storm.
Go ahead and do that right now if you haven't.
We're going to take a brief pause. I'm going to take a sip of my water and you search D-A-V-I-D-S Pumpkins.
And now for a quick intermission.
Blueberry.
Nice background noise.
So, Ben.
Hey, those were some spooky news.
It's very spooky.
Good job, RJ.
All for our theme this week, of course.
Yeah, we're sticking so close to the theme. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about Halloween.
Ooh!
Oh, Halloween TV. Ooh! Okay. One more time. Comedies and threes. Halloween. Ooh! There it is. Halloween TV specials. Now, Halloween is just behind us, and maybe you missed some of these classic TV specials, but thanks to the power of the internet, you're going to be able to check those out. Just so you guys know, we're just taking a break from our normal format. We're talking about TV Halloween specials. Sitcoms always love to nod their head at the passing holidays, and Halloween is always a fun one. They get to stretch their funny bones.
And this podcast is no exception.
Oh, of course.
We're taking full advantage of the Halloweeny.
To the Halloween.
Did you hear what I just said?
Weenie?
Yeah.
You snuck that one past me.
Got you to say it.
So what makes a TV sitcom Halloween episode funny? Usually they're spoofing classic tropes of scary movies where, you know, they're either hiding from the bad guy and he's right behind him, and then it's just something ridiculous like a
hey, can I have some water? I'm like, oh, it's just you. Here, Greg, here's some water.
But then he actually is the killer.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So we're going to go through those, and we're going to start with one of the most classics of classics. That would be The Simpsons. Every year around the Halloween season, they do Treehouse of Horror.
Treehouse of Horror. And Ben, we were talking earlier, what is the plural form of horror?
Treehouse of Hoorai.
Horrors.
Horrors.
Horrors. I'm sorry, it's just so stupid. One of the best Treehouse of Horror episodes, critically, you know, among the fans, is Treehouse of Horror V5. V/5.
Nice.
The person who actually wrote this is someone we just recently talked about on our show, Mr. Greg Daniels from The Office.
Oh, yeah. He'll probably come up again.
And again and again and again.
Because we definitely plan to talk about Parks and Rec.
Yeah, yeah.
He had his thumb in that pie.
That's true. Is that a thing? I don't think that's a statement.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, you have your fingers in different pies, all the projects you're working in.
Is that really a saying?
Yeah. You put your finger in the pie. How does that taste? Oh, it tastes good. I got my finger in this pie. Tastes pretty good.
Are you just sort of trying to stick with like fall analogies and like pumpkin pie?
No, that's a saying. I
don't care. Okay, that's weird.
It seems like you care.
I don't want you to say that again. I never want to hear it. Okay, that's weird.
Finger pies.
Yeah. Okay, you're done. This is weird. Treehouse of Horror.
Oh, right.
5.
Yeah.
Which is in season 6, 1994. They did a very classic spoof of the horror movie The Shining, which is, you know, the staple line. Anyone can say that, and everyone knows it's from this movie, but even more so, it's from The Tonight Show. What's his face? Jack.
Homer.
What?
Oh, you're saying from the real movie.
Yeah, from the real movie.
What is his face?
Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson with the axe, hitting it through the door. Goosh, goosh, goosh. Pokes his head through and goes, "Here's Johnny!" Which is a nod to The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, because that's what they would say every time. Here's Johnny!
Right.
And he'd come out. Doo-doo-doo. So that's kind of funny in a horror movie in general. But then the Simpsons.
Oh, it was terrifying in that movie.
Oh, yeah. I was like, he's really creepy.
Stanley Kubrick knew how to just poke at your like sense of place in the world and just feel like, oh, gosh, that's really
nothing
terrifying.
Nothing is sacred.
Yeah.
Every time you hear it on The Tonight Show, you're kind of like, am I safe? But The Simpsons did a really funny joke with that. Homer's got the axe and he's like going crazy because there's no beer or television in the whole hotel.
Yeah.
So he's got the axe and he goes over and he's like, yeah, goosh, goosh, goosh. He walks in and he's like, here's Johnny. And it's like an empty room. He's like,
dope.
dang it. And he runs the next room. Goose, goose, goose. Here's David Letterman. And it's his dad. And he's like, hey, David Letterman, I'm Grandpa. He's like, dang it. And he goes into the next one. He does the 60 minutes.
Yeah.
Here's 60 minutes. And it's like,
everyone's like, ah, they run away.
They run away.
So good.
They also do like a time travel episode on that Treehouse of Horror. Because they do like three little mini sequences. And one of them is like time travel. Homer creates a toaster that like sends him back to different, back in time. And he keeps messing something up when he comes back to the future. And he keeps running into Peabody and Mr. Sherman. We're just like
throughout.
Yeah, old time traveling like children's cartoons.
Yeah.
Like in so the same good realm as like Rocky and Bullwinkle. And then the other one was like the cafeteria part.
Yeah, right? Where the kids get killed.
Yeah, and served up in the cafeteria.
That's my favorite part about, Treehouse of Horror is always known. They do, three little mini episodes. But they always take it so much past what you're used to, what you're kind of normally expecting from a Simpsons episode. They make it real violent. Like, kids get eaten.
Yeah.
And that's totally okay.
Yeah. Almost funny.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
Oh, it's funny.
Yeah, it's very funny.
My favorite part in the Shining spoof, though, oh my gosh, this is so good. It's like right before he does that, the bit from The Shining, here's Johnny. Marge is like confronting him, like, what? Are you going crazy? And he goes, go crazy? I just might. Thanks. And then Dan Castellaneta, the guy who voices Homer, just like stretches his little vocal cords and just does the best, like, and goes crazy.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Oh, I love that scene. It's like so classic Homer noises.
Totally true. They just press like shuffle on all the Homer soundscapes, and it's like all the noises he's ever
it's
made.
So good.
But Treehouse of Horror is very funny just because they do such a good job of spoofing the things that are scary. It's like, like The Shining, and they just go, hey, you know The Shining? Well, everything's just a joke. It's not really that scary. But then sometimes they do parts of the Treehouse of Horror where it's like, this is kind of scary, and they'll like go through the whole plot of like kids getting eaten, but like there's just funny bits sprinkled in there. So it's kind of like a dark, sadistic kind of humor where it's like, oh, it's just kind of funny because Bart's scared of everyone getting eaten, and it turns out it's just a dream, which is fine. But then Marge's like, oh, the fog's back. It's going to turn us all inside out. And then everyone turns inside out.
And does like a musical number.
Yeah, it was a weird ending.
That was a weird ending. Just recently, in the most recent Treehouse of Horror, they do a James Bond spoof. And I think Bart becomes James Bond, but he has to kill the new villain, which is Homer, and he's got like the scar on his eye, and he's like stroking the cat on his face. They're like, how did you get that scar? And then the cat goes and scratches his face. He's like that. But it's so good. He has to kill his own dad, and he stabs him in the back.
So I have a question for you, Ben. If we're gonna rate these scary TV specials,
I want to do something on like a scale from 1 to 10.
Yeah, it's similar to that. It's
what's our scale?
If the most scary thing is the most funny thing, what's the scariest? Like, if this is a scary ghost coming to your door, how scary is it?
Wait, what? I don't think you made any sense in that sentence.
I'm gonna slow it down real slow. If the scariest is equals the funniest in our rating scale, what's the scariest ghost that could come to your door? So if this is like,
so if Casper came, it's not that funny,
right?
But if like Poltergeist happened, it'd be like, that's real.
That's some funny stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. 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 Casper's kind of scary. He'd be like a 3 out of 10.
Maybe like a ton of Caspers.
Oh my god. That's what you would rate Treehouse.
Honestly, that just gives me anxiety thinking about it. Just a ton of Caspers.
Hey, you want to go play ping pong?
That's a terrible Casper.
I don't know what Casper sounds like.
You haven't seen the movie?
Well, no, I've seen it, but I mean, when I was 10.
Yeah, me
what
too.
Does he sound like? Some
I don't remember.
Idiot kid? He's like, I promise I won't scare ya! Like, what? I don't know Casper.
It just didn't sound like that, I remember.
Okay, then what does he sound like?
I don't remember.
All right, you're bad at this game.
He sounds like, hey,
you guys.
Casper here.
I swear I'm a ghost.
I swear. We're going to party like we're 1975.
Yeah, that's exactly what it would sound like. So if Treehouse of Horror 5 is a ghost coming to your door, how scary is this ghost?
Chaos of Horror, I mean, consistently throughout the whole season or just five?
As a whole.
Okay. Five is maybe like Dwayne Wade in ghost form. Like, it's an imposing figure. He's tall. But you're like, wait, have you died?
You tell me. I was going to say like Ebenezer Scrooge ghost.
Nice.
Actually, no. The ghost of Christmas Future, and like that ghost in Christmas Carol.
Okay.
Like, it's that's
chains.
Yeah, chains. No sounds, no face. Just points at things. And you're like, what does it mean?
Yeah. That's some scary stuff.
That's some funny stuff. Well, that's some funny, scary stuff. Some scary, funny stuff. You get it.
What other TV shows have those classic Halloween bits?
I think one of the things that comes to mind is the Community episode, Epidemiology. There's like an outbreak due to a virus because there's taco meat that the dean accidentally got from the army surplus store. Yes. And everyone gets super sick, but it's totally spoofing like the Walking Dead or like zombie, you know, Night of the Living Dead kind of a theme. That's funny, and it works too because it's such like a modern take, because they're like trapped indoors and, you know, trying to figure stuff out. Pretty funny. I'd give it like a solid like ghost of your Civil War veteran uncle or something that you didn't know existed.
Okay, so but it's not like actual Civil War era. He's a dress up. He's like a Civil War impersonator.
Yes. So you're confused as if those wounds are real or if they're makeup. But he's definitely dead.
Definitely dead.
Yeah.
How did he die?
I don't know.
Natural causes?
Well, it's like almost the first time you're meeting him. Okay. That's why you're also still confused whether he's actually from the Civil War or not.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So the Community one, it's pretty good. The Modern Family Haunted House episode, I think it's from like season one. You remember the one where Claire tries to make a haunted house?
Yes. I saw that one when it aired. I don't remember a
ton. She like tries to be scary, and it's like things just fall
flat.
Oh, yeah,
she really wants her house to be like a full like walkthrough haunted house.
Right. And things just kind of like fall apart for her. That one was decently funny too. I feel like that was back when Modern Family season one. That was back for me when Modern Family was funny, and not the same thing over and over again. Manny, no, don't do it. I can't even.
Sophia Vergara. Nice. That's the grandpa.
No.
Oh, yeah. Sophia
Vergara. Seriously?
I'm joking.
Okay, you're messed up. So like,
and Manny's like, I have no shirts that fit me. Isn't that such a Manny thing?
Manny complaining about his weight.
Yeah. No. Not his weight. Yeah, just like he complains about petty things.
Real on the nose, Ben. How rude. For all the Manny fans out there. How dare we? Am I right? The Manny Haunted House. The Modern Family Haunted House episode is worth checking out, simply because it reminds us about the good times when Modern Family was a show that we enjoyed in America. And
what would you rate it, though? Like, two Caspers in like a 50s-style knife fight, but they can't stab each other because they're just hollow?
Scratch everything you said except the knives. So it's just two floating knives, fighting each other. That'd be pretty scary.
Do they go through each other?
No.
Oh, they clink?
Like, it's like a knife fight.
Okay.
Ching, ching, ching. Almost like a sword fight, but they're just like butter knives.
Invisible swordsmen. Yeah. They're butter knives. Smart.
If it was butter knives, it wouldn't be that scary. These are like full-fledged steak knives.
Solid.
Maybe some ghost blood dripping off of them.
Ooh.
Spooky.
Spooky funny.
Yeah.
Here's my favorite bit. Brooklyn Nine-Nine does a Halloween special.
Yes.
And I feel like they do a good job because they use Halloween to tell this one reoccurring story where Jake tries to steal something from the captain, or everyone tries to steal one thing to prove who's the best detective slash genius.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so good. In season one, the first time they do it, Jake has to steal the captain's Medal of Valor. He ends up doing it. The captain doesn't know about it. He gets it. He fools him, and he like rubs it in his face. He's a super poor winner. But then the captain is so like embarrassed that he starts planning his next one. He tricks Jake in the next one, so he wins episode or season two Haunted or Halloween. So funny. And then season three, Santiago wins out of nowhere. Nobody wants to pick Santiago because Jake and her are dating and she sucks up to the captain. So they both like yell at her and they think that she's wearing like a video wire and they both yell at her. It's so funny. And so she tricks them. And then the latest one, Gina comes out of nowhere and wins. And she changed the title to greatest person slash genius.
That's so good.
It's so good.
I like,
but they, but they always have like the perfect Halloween outfits and silly tropes.
Right.
Boyle is always like, hey, look at me. He comes in. He's clearly Mario Batali. He's got like the Crocs, a chef's outfit, and red hair with a ponytail. And everyone's like, what are you? Ellen DeGeneres as a marshmallow? They just totally like lay a rail on him. It's so,
they,
so good.
They play on the classic tropes of like, you know, office dress ups, costume stuff. Yeah. Competitions that you have in the office. I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine when they do just like stupid competitions within their own like circle of detectives. I think that's like where the show thrives in their camaraderie. Yeah.
Similar to the, I think it's season two of The Office, the Halloween episode.
Yeah.
Where Michael has to fire someone, and, but like everyone's wearing costumes. Dwight has, he's a Sith Lord.
Darth Sidious.
Yeah. And then Michael has two heads.
Yeah.
Jim is three hole punch Jim.
It's
so fun. I love those. I love Jim playing on the fact that like there's always somebody in the office who does the laziest costume possible.
Right.
So good.
Yeah, and that's I mean, as far as, you know, sitcom Halloween is concerned, this is the easiest trope to make fun of. The everyone loves wearing costumes, but it's a really unique time for the characters to like literally wear themselves. You know,
yeah,
they'll wear
sure,
a costume that's so much exemplary of who their character is, especially when you look at, you know, three-hole punch Jim or Boyle wearing the obvious Mario Batali but getting made fun of kind of a thing.
But where The Office totally excels is they put a terrible situation in the middle of that.
Totally.
And make it so awkward where they have to fire. He wants to fire Creed, and then Creed convinces him to fire Devin. And he does it just so he doesn't look like a fool. Oh, it's so funny.
So you rate the Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'll rate The Office.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I'd have to give that like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters in ghost form fighting a Godzilla ghost form.
Wow, that's really...
It's just like really overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's really big, so it's terrifying. But it's also like cute because it's Stay Puft, but it's Godzilla.
So it's like scary and there's a lot of destruction.
Well, they're ghosts. So they just, they go through things.
So it's all like a hologram.
So it's pretty scary funny.
It's pretty scary holograms.
Yeah.
I'll give The Office like a solid knock on the door. Who is it? It's the girl from The Shining. Like the two girls in The Shining.
Oh, yeah.
Like, ah! It's just scary. But again, it's scary equals funny. This is classic funny.
So a lot of ha-has.
Another episode that is such a staple Halloween episode is the Friends episode from season 8, the one with the Halloween party. Another is the costume party trope. Everyone is reluctant to be there. Joey's like, why would I want to dress up? Try to pretend somebody that I'm not in a costume that's stupid? It doesn't even make any sense. And Chandler's like, you're an actor. So, like, they all show up, like, to Monica's party, and Ross dresses up like Sputnik. Well, he says he's Sputnik, but he's in a giant potato costume. And he's got, like, this upside-down, like, noodle drainer on his head. It looks like an antenna. He's like, get it? Spud. And then it's like an antenna. And everyone's like, Joey walks in. He's like, you look like Space Duty.
Duty?
Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty classic. Also Sean Penn's in this episode.
What? Out of nowhere.
As Phoebe's twin sister Ursula, his fiance.
Oh.
Yeah.
So he's not the girl.
No, and it's really funny because he just plays like this really nervous dude, and it's just a funny cameo for him as well. This is funny because it shows a classic Halloween party with like your friends. There's the people who are there, who are excited to give out candy for trick-or-treaters. Rachel's like stoked to give candy. She gives too much candy away, ends up writing checks to kids.
Oh my gosh.
And to the point where she gets more candy and the kid's like, hey, I wanted a check. And she's like, well, too bad, you get candy. And they have the just stupid friend stuff like they always have.
Classic.
Chandler and Ross end up getting in a fight over who could beat each other up in a fight. And they do an arm wrestle. And it's like, who's going to hook up with the girl at the party? Kind of a question. It's decently funny. I would say, actually, it's funnier than... I think the Community and Modern Family episodes don't hold a candle to this.
Really?
Yeah. So
how scary is it?
So how scary this episode...
How scary are the ghosts that represent the comedy of it? You made this scale, dude.
Why am I a ghost? Laughing.
Why am I a ghost laughing?
This Friends episode is you opening up the door to an endless pit of ghosts falling into Hades.
Oh, that's pretty scary funny.
Yeah. It's just constant laughs. You nice. Go through this episode, yeah. And it's right off the bat. Joey complaining, Chandler reluctant to wear a bunny costume, Ross wearing the stupid Sputnik thing, Rachel giving away checks, Phoebe dealing with her twin sister who's actually herself. So it's like the kind of Parent Trap kind of mirror camera,
right, yeah.
Camera angle stuff. Really, really good.
So RJ, what was your favorite, like growing up, what was your favorite TV Halloween episode that you can remember?
I think I'd say the SpongeBob Halloween episode.
Oh.
One of the first episodes they had. It's pretty classic where SpongeBob...
He tries to dress up like the Frying Dutchman?
The Flying Dutchman, yeah.
Not the Frying Dutchman. That's the name of the restaurant.
Well, it's funny because they established that SpongeBob is not a scary person. And he's actually scared of everything. And they make fun of him for it. And they pick on him. He's like, I'm going to be scary. I can do it. Like, and he just gets scared of everything. And it's stupid. And he's like, I want to be the Flying Dutchman. So he puts on it like a sheet and some like wooden Dutch shoes. And he's like, perfect. And Patrick's like, no, it's not convincing enough. And he's like, yeah, let's shave down my head a bit so I have more rounded, so I look like a round ghost. And so he's not square anymore, he's round. And like the trick-or-treater's like, oh, he doesn't look like the flying mattress. He looks like the flying sleeping bag. So they're still making fun of him. He's not scary. So they plan to go to the Krusty Krab party where everyone's there and like scare everyone that he's a Flying Dutchman. And he comes and he's like, ah, and then Patrick gets stung by a jellyfish, which he ends up running around pulling the rope that's tied to SpongeBob. And everyone realizes, oh, it's just stupid SpongeBob trying to scare us all. But then the real Flying Dutchman shows up, like the real giant scary ghost. And he's like, what the heck? I see a lot of stupid costumes, but this is the stupidest. You're wearing a sheet and you got some stupid wooden shoes. Like, this is the worst thing ever. He's like, I'm really scary. You're making me look like an idiot.
Hates it?
Yeah. And he's like, I'm going to steal all your guys' souls. And you know what? That's what you get for this. And he pulls off SpongeBob's sheet off his head.
Yeah.
Only to have everyone freak out. Scary running out, like the Flying Dutchman freaks out, runs away, and all the people in the Krusty Krab are like, oh my god. And
why?
It cuts to SpongeBob and it's just two eyeballs, his nose, and his brain. Like he had shaved all of the sponge off of him and it's like a brain. And he's like, I guess I really scared them. And Patrick's like, yeah, that pink hat really worked. He's like, oh no, that's my brain. He's like, oh.
Oh gosh.
It's a classic, like, he's not funny. I'm sorry, he's not scary. And then he actually ends up being scarier than the scariest person in Bikini Bottom.
Whoa. SpongeBob, I mean, it's definitely, like, geared towards kids, but you forget how funny that is. It's got fast writing.
Yeah.
It is really, really funny.
And that's kind of, I mean, as far as children's cartoons go, because they would fall into that category, it's on Nickelodeon. You know, that's kind of a dark joke. Like, SpongeBob shaved off his entire body.
Right.
Except for his brain and eyeballs.
Uh-huh.
Writing that down on paper is not PG, really.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, that's one of my favorites. What's your favorite?
Classic would be Boy Meets World. I seriously have it tattooed in my brain. I remember it from growing up. It's a detention scene, and then Corey is all afraid because he broke up with Topanga, but then Sean, like, starts seeing things, like, there's blood on the wall, and then all of a sudden the detention, like, moves out into the hallway and everyone starts dying off.
Oh.
Like people just start going missing and dying off.
Oh my gosh.
And like more and more people get like hurt, and you can see that there's like somebody, there's a killer out there, but it's like, it's really terrifying. Like Mr. Feeny dies.
Oh. I don't know if I remember this episode.
Yeah, no, it's pretty nuts. It was like, it's good because it was like, it was a legitimately scary thing. I mean, at the time I was a little kid.
Yeah.
I don't get scared now.
No.
Like I'm tough.
Like we don't get scared by
nothing. I sleep with a knife, you know. But at the time it was like, it legitimately freaked me out, and it had so many classic little jokes, but it played on the trope of like, in a scary movie, the person going, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to describe what's going to happen. And that's what Sean's character does.
Right.
He describes what's going to happen, and then it happens. But then the twist is he is the killer. He unmasks the killer at the end, and it's his own face, and he's like looking at himself, and you're like, what? Did you?
What?
And then he wakes up.
Yeah.
So double twist.
So classic.
Almost. You hate those ones where it was like they were dreaming the whole time.
Of course it was a dream.
But this one's good because it was really scary. And then at the end, it actually teaches him the lesson that he needed to learn.
And then
Topanga and Corey
Meets World ends up teaching the 90s a lesson of stop doing the dream sequence tropes.
Yeah, nice.
So everyone wins.
And then Kit from Knight Rider comes in, and him and Mr. Feeny are like, wait.
Are you in a dream?
What?
I think something that we need to address is one of the all-time best Halloween specials, The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown.
Yes.
From 1966, throwing it back. This is such a good adaptation of the Peanuts Gang comic strip brought to life on the television broadcast for children and parents alike.
It's a little lesser known than the Christmas one.
Oh yeah, because everyone likes Christmas. Everybody hates Halloween.
But no, it's so good. It's like, it's just as rich and good.
Okay.
I mean, do you not like it as much as Christmas?
I think the Christmas one is good. It's just, you know, when you compare holidays, I mean, you think about like people say Nightmare Before Christmas, like it's so good, it combines the best.
No, I'm not saying like holiday, comparing the holidays.
Okay.
Like just these two Charlie Browns.
No, I think these two are very good, like equally.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Just as good. It stands up to the Christmas.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Brown. I totally misheard you.
It's okay. I mean, it's okay.
Yeah. Stupid. Yeah, this is great. Linus is like waiting for the Great Pumpkin. Everyone thinks he's a dumb kid for believing in it. And then the Great Pumpkin never even shows up. And Charlie Brown's like, it's okay. I've made dumb mistakes before. And he's like, you shut up, Charlie Brown. You know what you're talking about. I'm going to find the Great Pumpkin next year, you stupid idiot. He gets all
he's
like,
a stupid idiot.
No, but he gets like really defensive
sure.
end. And then it's like, do, 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 do. Like, that's the end. But it's got one of the
best.
That's not what I'm talking about.
I'm joking.
They get dressed up to go trick-or-treating, and Charlie Brown's like, I had some trouble with the scissors. He's got, like, holes all over him. He looks like Swiss cheese. And they go trick-or-treating, and every time they go to a door, they, like, you see the candy get put in the bags, and you see, like, this weird, like, brown-shaping thing go into Charlie Brown's bag. And they're like, I got five pieces of candy. I got a dollar bill. And Charlie Brown's like, oh, I got a rock. And everyone's just like, typical, like no one cares. And he's just so sad. Like I was watching this thinking, how many people as a result of this airing gave rocks to kids, and then the kids who had seen the Charlie Brown special were stoked. They're like, oh yeah, I got a rock. And the kids who didn't see it were like, what the heck is this guy talking about?
I swear, Charlie Brown is the Rodney Dangerfield of comic book little strips. I feel like he's I get no respect, you know what I mean?
Good grief.
This is the same character.
Yeah, and meanwhile, Snoopy's a World War I flying ace trying to catch the Red Baron. He's getting riddled with bullets
so
in this freaking plane. You see, like, bullets hitting. Like, this is a little too soon. It's like 1966. Come on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a staple.
So
if you
good.
Have managed to not see it and you're currently living, I would also recommend you see this. Probably more than anything that we've talked about, The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown is the most Halloween-y, the most non-scary but kind of festive and like fun meaning of like friendship and like why we care for each other, but also some classic jokes.
It is good.
Yeah.
So how do we rate it?
Oof. Wow, that's a good question.
I'd say, because it's funny, but it's whimsical and cute. Mm-hmm. So I go straight back to Casper. I'm going to say three Caspers, the ghost, sleeping on a Casper mattress.
Ooh.
And that's a plug for free, Casper. You go to Casper.com and enter the promo code. We don't have a promo code.
Stupid. I would say that's scary enough. You open up and be like, wait, is that Casper? And he's on a
Casper
mattress. Oh my God.
Wordplay.
Very classic. Some of also these classic timeless Halloween bits are the SNL sketches. You know, they have specific Halloween episodes, and then sometimes just like weird Halloween themed skits where things are creepy. There's this one that's from 2007 where the Clintons throw a Halloween party.
Yes. So
and it's
good.
Like all, it's, you know, just their typical cold open with all the senators coming in and spoofing their characters. And it was around the election time when Hillary was running for the Democratic ticket against Barack Obama. And so, like, it's, you know, what's her face? I almost said Leslie Knope. Amy Poehler.
Yeah.
And she's doing her Hillary Clinton. She's complaining about, you know, idiots, Democrats.
And Bill
Clinton being an idiot. And then in comes this guy with a Barack Obama mask. She's like, oh, and who are you there? And the guy takes off this mask. And it's actually President Barack Obama,
oh,
who
so
wasn't
good.
The president yet. He's like, hi, Hillary. And she's like, oh my gosh, Barack. And he's like, I have no reason to hide who I am.
So looks, good.
Looks at the camera. So good. My gosh.
Oh, one of my favorites. I mean, SNL does such a good job. And definitely SNL as a whole is a topic we're going to come back and revisit. Because there's so much rich comedy there that we
Seriously.
Have to diagnose and come to tell you why you're laughing about it. But one of my favorites is classic Will Forte. It's this sketch with when John Hamm is hosting. John Hamm is just typical guy answering the door, giving candy to little kids. And then up comes Will Forte in this just like sketchy looking outfit. And he comes up and he's like, hey, trick or treat. And he's like, aren't you a little old to be trick or treating? I mean, what is even your costume? And he goes, I'm a sex offender.
I'm a registered sex offender.
And he's like, I'm sorry, what? And he goes, oh, for Halloween. I'm a registered sex offender on Halloween.
Oh,
and he's
gosh.
Like, I'm just trying to clarify here. What's going on? He's like, oh, just a funny little bit of my costume. Could you sign these papers in accordance with Megan's Law? Oh, my gosh. It's so funny. He sticks so true to it. It's just like,
it's, he's just got that weird Will Forte, like, cracked smile.
Little tiny little mustache.
Tiny little mustache, weird glasses, and it's just so creepy. And it's the perfect blend of, oh my gosh, this is a really awkward thing. And at the same time, like, the perfect moment for someone to think they could trick their neighbors into signing those papers.
I love, it's just riddled with jokes. He goes, yeah, I do this every time I move somewhere new.
Oh my gosh.
It's so funny.
The one that we talked about right away in the news, David S. Pumpkins, just happened last week. It's so funny. Tom Hanks hosted
Instant
it.
Instant classic.
Yeah, and it's the classic elevator ride, you know, when you're like, oh, you go to a floor and there's something scary.
100 floor of frights.
Yeah,
100 flights of floors.
Flights of floors of
100 floor flights.
The same thing.
Frights.
And every time they open the door, it's like, oh, my head fell off.
Yeah.
And like, it, you know, the two people in the elevator are like, oh my gosh, that scared me. That scared me. And they finally get to this one. And it's Tom Hanks in a pumpkin suit, like a suit that has little pumpkin emblems all over it. And these two dudes with like white fluffy wigs and like skeleton costumes. And it's Tom Hanks in like a goofy smile. He's like, I'm David Pumpkins, and I'm going to scare the hell out of you. And then he, like, does a weird dance.
It's the best little b-boy music. It's like, and the skeletons dance.
And they, like, point to him, and they point back. And then it stops, and he goes, any questions?
That is the best part. At the end of each one, he just, like, leans forward and goes, any questions?
And they're like, and then the doors close to the elevator, and the couple in there was like, yeah, I got a lot of questions. Who is David Pumpkins? Am I supposed to know who that is?
Is he like from something? Is it like a local commercial or what is that?
And it's such a good spoof on all kinds of Halloween-y rides and stuff. Because there's so many times where it's like, oh, that's the werewolf. Oh, that's the vampire. And what? Wait, are you just like a doll, like holding an axe? Like, I don't understand like what that's supposed to be. Like those kinds of things. And like asking the questions of like, you know, why is this really scary?
And they took that and gave him a name.
Oh my gosh, David Pumpkins. And he ends up scaring him at the end. You guys got to check it out.
It's so funny.
It's worth the laugh. And the internet has just gone wild with it. Just putting him, you know, David Pumpkins is scarier than any other like classic horror film. And they like superimpose him in like a scene in The Shining.
Like, any questions?
Like instead of here's Johnny, he's like, any questions? And the lady's like,
oh, so funny. Oh my gosh. Well, that's what we got for this week, fellas and ladies and all the people out there in podcast land. So you know what that means.
It means
time for a spooky edition of...
Wait.
Yeah, what's up?
You for sure said you'd do a spooky theme for Ben's Wacky Facts.
Yeah, I know. I've joked / slacked all this time on making a new theme song, but this one is Halloween themed. I changed it.
All right. I genuinely believe
it's got ghouls and little bells.
Yeah. All right. Let's hear it.
All right. Here we go. It's time for Ben's Wacky Facts.
Wacky.
That's like doesn't even count.
No.
That's just. You know, a couple seconds of something different, and it's the same thing. How do you constitute that as a different theme music?
Because I got scared while listening to it.
No, you're so mean. Just change the theme. Just give me the facts. I don't care.
You know what that means. Wacky facts means I give the facts. RJ rates them, puts them on the baseball field, which he's an expert at because he's seen a game or two.
Go Cubs.
Nice, topical.
That's relevant.
Yeah, that actually is.
I mean, you only got two teams to choose from.
Whoa, the Cubbies or the...
Oof, Native Americans?
Nice. Way to be hashtag relevant. Just kidding. Here's fact number one. Okay, I'm sorry. I forgot to say this. For all of these wacky facts, I'm just going to stick to Charlie Brown's The Great Pumpkin.
Oh, so this is like a special theme.
It's specially themed inside of the pumpkin of Charlie Brown.
So you're willing to do a special theme for the Wacky Facts, but you're not willing to change the theme music.
Whoa. That was a cold breeze that just ran through here.
Yeah.
RJ's pissed. I'm just going to give him the facts. Here's fact number one. The image of Snoopy as the flying ace became the good luck charm for NASA astronauts during the Apollo space missions. The crew of the Apollo 10 mission even nicknamed their lunar module Snoopy and their command module Charlie Brown.
What?
Yes.
That's so awesome.
So you see Snoopy as the flying ace for the first time in this, The Great Pumpkin.
Yeah.
And they loved it. They considered it their good luck charm and they put it on everything.
That's amazing.
Isn't that sweet?
That's so perfect. This is the perfect baseball analogy for this wacky fact. It's so good. It's someone up at the plate, ready to hit the ball, just hits a line drive that ends up taking off into the air. Ooh. And what happens? Whing! Wings come out to the side and
nice.
Right off to Mars, where we land and colonized in 1966.
I'm guessing that's a home run.
Yeah, well,
all right.
It's like more than a home run because Now we actually live and inhabit another place besides the Earth.
More than a home run. RJ's autobiography.
Oh my God.
Here's wacky fact number two. Recording Sally's lines was a race against time. The 6-year-old voicing her, her name is Kathy Steinberg, had a loose front tooth. And when it fell out, her speech was going to be different, so they had to record fast. The tooth fell out as she said her very last line.
She said, thank you.
Bink a punk punk.
Thank you. Ding, 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 ding. I'm just trying to think of it.
Thank you. Why was she saying it like that?
Well, it's like you say thank you, but you push your teeth out.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Did she say it and then the tooth fell out? Tooth fell out as she said it?
As she said it.
Thank you. ding, ding, ding. Stupid.
How many baseballs does that get?
That's great. That's a guy ready to hit a long bomb, goes to hit it, and then sends the bat flying, hits the pitcher right in the mouth. No more teeth. Game canceled. But everyone's happy. Except the pitcher.
Nice. Canceled the game.
Yeah.
That's an intensive care hospital visit.
Go home to your families. Hold them. Cherish them. That's the official call.
Nice. So here's wacky fact numero three. The real Charlie Brown got rocks too.
That's it?
Does that make sense to you?
No.
So the kid that voiced Charlie Brown, his name is Peter Robbins. He actually, when he went out to go trick-or-treating that year, he got rocks instead of candy, just like Charlie in the film.
And that's messed up.
Right?
That's exactly what I predicted. I was like, oh, I bet some jerks in 1966 were like, let's give some kids some rocks. And then they're like, oh, yeah, that idiot Peter Robbins, he lives in this neighborhood. Make sure we only give him rocks. And now Peter Robbins is like, I'm never going to take an acting gig ever again. Good grief. That's 100%. Well, actually, that is very wacky. And not to make it, I mean, it is sad, but it's also wacky. So to rate this adequately, we have to give it a solid. Charlie Brown's up to bat.
Yeah.
And then they go, wait, change of rules. It's going to be a field goal kick instead. And Charlie Brown's like, sweet, I could totally kick a football so far. And the pitcher's got the ball. And Charlie Brown goes running up. And then Jesse's about to kick. The pitcher pulls off his mask and it's Sally. And she's like,
you mean Lucy.
Yeah, dang it. It's Lucy. Pulls the football back and goes, oh! And he goes flying in the air.
Does he go through the uprights?
Yes.
I feel like
kick is good.
That's the thing you forget about that. Charlie's got hops, right? He goes flying through the air.
He really follows through with that kick.
Oh, yeah. Kid's got legs.
Great form. If only Lucy would hold that ball steady, they could have won state.
Could have won state for the Cubbies. Now we got something special. RJ, do you want to take us through the Halloween shout-out?
Yeah, I thought it would be a really interesting time. Just to talk to some of our fans, I found this ability on our website, not to find specifically what place you're listening from, but just like the general cities where some of our listeners
are
from.
If you've ever listened to the podcast, we get a list of your address and your list of fears and
social security numbers, zip codes, email addresses.
No, nothing like that.
None of that. That would be illegal even to advertise. But we get a general idea, so like the county or the city that you're in. And we're so excited to see people listening in Springfield, Missouri, Tucson, Arizona, Honolulu, Hawaii, Alberta, Canada, Santa Monica, Santa Barbara. I mean, so many of our great listeners.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, so many of our listeners are from Orange County, so you could think about those places, but I'm blown away at even people who were getting, like, outside of the U.S.
International listeners?
Yes, like Germany, woo! Japan, Korea, Vietnam, and especially Spain.
Yeah,
for some reason,
we're big in Spain.
We're big in Spain.
That's so cool.
And that's great. I don't know much Spanish except gracias. And thanks. I hope all of our listeners are enjoying this.
Yeah, you're not alone out there. You got people in España out there listening with you.
España? Is that how they say it?
España.
You've offended all of our Spanish listeners.
We're no longer big in Spain.
Lo siento.
Nice.
Por mi amigo.
Well, that concludes the thank you. So that means it is hashtag whale mail of the week time.
Oh, yeah.
Woo.
This week's whale mail reads, hey, Ben and RJ, I'm having a great time listening to you guys. One question. On your episode about why jokes are funny, one wacky fact was that John Cleese sold a piece of his colon, and it felt like you breezed over some of the details. How and why, please? ? Johnny C.
Oh.
Wow. Calling us out.
Thanks, Johnny C. We appreciate your ears listening to us. We're going to satiate your curiosity with a little bit of more wacky facts.
We did get carried away, if memory serves.
Yeah. You had questions.
I had questions.
I wanted to cruise through it. Just because it kind of made me uncomfortable. He's selling a piece of his colon.
Yeah. You've talked about more uncomfortable things in the podcast and had no problem. So I don't know why you avoided this.
I'm an avoider. But here's what it actually is. John Cleese had this disease, which I'm going to try to pronounce, diverticulitis.
Money.
Yeah. He had that, and that operation requires a removal of a piece of his colon. So he put on his website, a very nice surgeon will be removing a piece of my colon. And then he put in parentheses, his Parkinson's is only in an early stage.
Oh my God.
Thanks, Cleese. But he said, good news for all you fans. The infected bit, which has been cut out by the surgeon, will be offered on the website for sale in the next few days. And the proceeds of the sale will be divided between me and a very nice surgeon.
Wow. That's great.
So
he's healed, so we know that much.
So here's the truth of the matter. He auctioned it off, but I can't for the life of me find if anyone actually purchased this or how much they purchased it for.
So if you're listening right now and you want to win the Whale Mail Podcast Fan of the Year Award.
There's a trophy. It's really tall.
Yeah. We'll ship it out to you and we'll make an announcement on the podcast. This goes for any time. If we get email and you figure out this dollar amount, we'll give you a solid shout out on the podcast and send you this 8-foot trophy.
You send us an email, we'll send you the trophy. Where can they send the email, RJ?
You can send us an email at whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com. You can find our podcast on the iTunes podcast app, Google Play, or Stitcher. Be sure to check out our Twitter page at WhalePod or our Facebook page, Why Am I Laughing? And like I said, email, of course, we love in the emails, guys, whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com. Send us anything, we read it. I'm on Twitter at Rudolph the Brown. You can find Ben at I don't know where to plug in my iPhone.
No numbers?
No numbers.
You should give me numbers. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in this week. As always, we need to thank Ben Sound for our theme music. We're appreciative of you guys tuning in and listening. If you have a second in your day to spare, go ahead and cruise over to iTunes and give us a rating.
We would really appreciate
it. It would help us a ton, more than you even know. The spirit of Halloween be with you. And like we always say, comedy has always and will forever be about
ghosts.
Timing. Ghost timing.
Oh, that worked.
High five.